Get Pucked.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Get Pucked podcast. Vito and Matt here with you. And as you may have noticed, some of you, hopefully, we didn't record an episode last week. So what we're kind of doing now, formally to announce, is we're kind of rolling into summer mode. This is the real dry period of hockey throughout the year, end of July and August. So what we're likely going to do is scale back just a little bit and probably put on an episode every 2 weeks. So you can pay very close attention to our Twitter for the upcoming episodes, as we typically do. You'll get a post there. And of course, if you haven't already, consider subscribing on YouTube. That way, when we do make one, you'll see a little thing pop up and it'll be ready for you.
One slight correction. It's not Twitter anymore. It's X.
Okay.
It's X.
All right. Well, I'm still calling it Twitter for the time being.
Make sure you send out your zeets.
Yeah, your zeets. Okay. Putting Elon aside for a second here. Let's move on. There's a couple things that I kind of wanted to talk about. A few things that, scouring the X or formerly Twitter, people talking about and stuff, and just, seeing some fun conversation, because the Habs fans never stop. And that's one of my favorite things about this particular fan base. There's always things to talk about. There really is random trade concepts to come up with and just general conversation. And it's cool to sort of see what everybody's sort of talking about. So one thing, and next time I will attempt to remember the name of the account that I find this stuff at, because I think that's interesting when I do find things from accounts. Somebody was talking about comparing the Habs rivalries of today versus the rivalries of old. And so essentially where it goes with is, it wasn't very hard to know who the Habs rivals were, years ago. It was, right off the bat, you throw Boston. It's like the moment you see rivals, the first thing that pops out of your mouth, you're like, the Bruins. We hate the Bruins, Boston all day, every day. Toronto is likely very close after. And then, there's occasional other teams that were in the mix there for a bit that caused some grief, and, go back to the Nordiques and when they were around, and that was a thing. So my question to you, sir, who are the biggest rivals today to the Habs?
Toronto's still there, hands down. No questions asked. Toronto's still there. Agreed. People still hate them. I don't know. It's even between the fans more so than the teams, I would say.
I agree with that. I agree with that a lot also. It's a fan versus fan more than the teams. Yeah.
Montreal fans tend to hate the Leafs fans. The Leafs fans tend to hate Montreal fans. They have their reasons. They say that we over-exaggerate our players and overvalue them and so on. And we laugh at them because every year seems to be their year and so on, right? So I say the Toronto Maple Leafs are probably Montreal's number one rival. I would say it's their number one rival. No. Now, some people from the previous era, would always bring the Bruins up, and I agree with you. Bruins are a rival, but I find that in recent years, there are teams that have passed the Bruins as Montreal's rivals.
And some people would take that as a really hot take, but I'm right there with you, by the way. I just want
to
get that out.
They'll
be rivals forever, but the animosity has scaled back.
Yeah, it has scaled back, and I think to some extent, I would say that it's because of players like Patrice Bergeron, which, congratulations on the retirement. Players like him, where a lot of Montreal Canadiens fans and fans throughout the entire NHL just respect. So the Bruins themselves, you look back and you say you hate the Bruins because of all the history behind it all, but do you really hate today's Bruins as much as you did yesterday's Bruins? It's still Boston, I get it, but Toronto's been consistent, right? I would say today, nowadays, and maybe this is probably going to be a hotter take, is there's more of a rivalry with Carolina than there is with the Bruins today.
There is for me. I hate Carolina. Right?
So I would say, especially with what happened with the whole Kotkaniemi thing, the offer sheet, the general managers involved, the ownership, everything that happened a few years ago, and till this day, you could even go as far back as the playoffs with Koivu back then and all those things and all of that. And there's been a progression of hatred towards the Carolina Hurricanes from the Montreal fan base and vice versa. So much so that on Twitter, X, there's every year there seems to be, there seems to be trolling that is happening between the Carolina fans and Montreal fans, right? So I'm not going to place them as number two, but I would say today, nowadays, Carolina is up there as a rivalry.
Well, I want to just pick up something fast here, because you mentioned about the fan base a couple times. And so it makes me wonder, was it used to be that teams had rivals because of the players? And I think back to Boston, because you're mentioning the players have changed and it's more skill Boston Bruins today than the big bad Bruins of 10 plus years ago, and Lucic in your face, and Nathan Horton?
Yeah, Horton.
Does it? Yeah. And these kind of guys that were out there and gooning it up a little bit and all the fighting and all that kind of stuff and the rah-rah. That was the players. I feel like the fan base didn't like the team because they didn't like those players, which is how I feel a rivalry should be. But you're mentioning the fans a lot, and I'm agreeing with you, because I think Carolina as a team, if I look at Carolina as a team, they have a very good team, objectively. Their players are good. They have good players on that team. And otherwise, if you looked at it from just players' perspective, you could almost say, there's some good players there, and I kind of like them. And you would otherwise say, I would like to root for this team. But I hate them. And to your point, I don't like them because of their owner, the offer sheet stupidity, their fans in particular. Even their admin of their Twitter account is really good at what he does, because they elicit so much like anger to the other fans. So is that what rivalries have become now? More fan versus fan base?
Well, social media wasn't as strong as it is today back then. So now you're having the rivalries really kicking in with the fans. Back then it was players, teams hated each other, and the fans would amplify that. They would add to it, taunting, booing during the games, whatever, and then people at home would do their thing. But nowadays it's like, I mean, just yesterday, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, there was a Maple Leafs fan that went on and started doing a massive troll job, and everybody got triggered on this. And you started seeing the comments going, this is like, buddy, get out of this.
You know what I mean? Like, social media thing, though? Like, hold on a second. But whether we're talking one guy who's on social media who's trying to cause,
mission accomplished. Chaos. It doesn't matter. Even if it is mission accomplished.
But does that mean what happens? People that he trolled now hate their team or hate this guy?
Both, because automatically everybody goes to, you haven't won anything since 1967. You guys just got out of the second round. They start to do all the troll jobs. It was 3-1. It starts to go really back and forth. And then, you have Leafs fans saying, they'll start bashing the team and say, you guys have no superstar. Whatever it is that they start saying, your logo looks like a toilet seat. Things of that nature. Right. So, and we laugh at it because you and I are, have that mentality, and we start to laugh about it. But some people take it to heart. And that's why I say today, the Leafs fans and Montreal fans truly hate each other. I've got a buddy of mine who's a Leafs fan, and every time they do something, he's messaging me saying, hey, we're winning the cup. And I laugh. I'm like, you've been saying this since 1967. Well, not him particularly, but your fans have been saying this since 1967. Yeah. Right, so it's like, fans add to the hatred. Now, because the fans add to the hatred, we can never forget about the fans who have followed the Montreal Canadiens since the day that Boston was truly a rivalry. And you still got to put Boston as a Montreal Canadiens rival, but they're just not at the top of the rivalry.
I guess the way I look at it is, it used to be you disliked the fan base because they rooted for the team that you disliked the most. Now there's instances where you dislike the team because you dislike the fan base so much. And it seems to be that's the big change that's happened, in particular for Carolina. I look at it that way. It was all off-ice stuff that really pumped the animosity there to the next level. Toronto and Boston will always be perennial rivals. That will exist forever, no matter how bad or good
it is. But it's with Boston, admittedly, it has dialed back.
It's died down a bit. I used to think that Boston was the number one. You put Toronto's number one. I would agree with that. I think Toronto is number one today.
I put Toronto number one.
Yes, I would agree. You did not mention Ottawa.
I was going to next. So I think that died down a little bit too. But there was a span of time.
I feel like that's ramping up actually a little bit. with well, your younger no. guys, with Strutzel, with all the, oh, he's a diver, and Kachuk, you should have
taken but that's
me,
across,
and all
that's
this kind of stuff.
That's across the NHL. Him being a diver is across the NHL. It's not just...
Alleged diver. I don't want to start getting into this.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
so
he embellishes a bit. We got guys on our team that embellishes too. Okay, fine.
I would call Ottawa fringe. They're a fringe rival. They're just, you know, they're not quite in Toronto territory. But it's starting. Mm. It's starting again. I mean, you're seeing Ottawa fans trying to troll, but, you know, everybody comes back to them. And it stops the argument right away and saying, stop, you guys are a poverty franchise. Like, you guys barely should be in the NHL. I'm not saying that to Ottawa fans, so please don't crucify me. I'm just reading out what I see on Twitter or on threads and all that. And it's just like, no.
See,
just
I don't know, man. I disagree with you. I think Ottawa is a bona fide rival. I think the proximity of the cities are obviously a huge factor to this. I think that they got a very young and skillful team that's coming up. When the teams play, I find that they play in particular a more physical game, usually against Ottawa and vice versa. I think there's a bunch of storylines that lead to the whole notion that the fan bases can get behind and really throw mud at each other. I put Ottawa right up there. I mean, if we're going to call Carolina a rival, 100% I'm calling Ottawa a rival.
Well,
they're
I'll
not
say
fringe
this about,
to me.
I'll say this about Ottawa, and maybe some Montreal fans are not going to be happy about this. They do, at least on paper, but even if you look at their prospects, they have a good team. Ottawa's got a very good team. They looks like they finally figured out their ownership and all of that stuff. I think that they're only going to get better. I think we're going to have to start taking them a little more seriously as a franchise in general.
We'll see the next couple steps. Yeah,
they feel they've addressed their goaltending there now with Korpisalo and whatever, but that's the question mark for me there. If I gotta put them as a rival, I'd still put them behind Boston 100%. They're like I said, they're fringe for me. They're not up there in the top three rivals of the month.
No, I don't know if they're I don't think they're top shelf, but they're definitely rivals. I think the teams that we named here, Toronto, Carolina, Boston, Ottawa, I think those are very obvious and apparent rivals. I'm curious to know if you have anybody else that you consider as a rival. There's one that comes to mind, and I would put them as fringe. But they're the last team that I had on my list.
I think the problem with the whole rival thing is it's hard to really call anybody a rival when you've been a bottom five team for the last few years.
That's a huge thing, too. I agree. But
it's hard, right? Who are you rivaling?
I don't know. I still find certain teams, they rise to the occasion a bit more. And one in my mind, for whatever the reason, you can maybe go back to that playoff run when they got eliminated by them. I put Philadelphia on the fringe. There's something about Philadelphia and the Habs that, I don't know. I still see it. They fight a lot. They're incredibly physical with them all the time. Now that you got Danny Briere running the show over there, there might be a little something every time they play the Habs.
The only thing that I would add to Philly is because for a while we kept saying, hey, thanks for Cole Caulfield. But now they're spitting it back out and saying, hey, thanks for Michkov,
That's right.
One's in the NHL, one's not. So, I mean, is there some – I'll say this. Is there some trolling between the two teams?
You mentioned
fringe. Something impactful would have to happen between those two teams, call it in a playoff, in the season. And typically, it's somebody gets hurt, a bad hit, something that's
– When was the
– Does it make you forget?
When was that playoff run? Was it 08 when Philadelphia ended up knocking them out? Was it in the semis?
I know which playoff run you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. So I think about that, and I'm like, that to me was a bit of a catalyst because that was really in the heat of like when I was getting
into it. It's too far back today. Because if you're gonna go back to that, then you'd have to put Boston at the top of the list because Boston Montreal rivalry was still going on.
For a lot of people, Boston might still be at the top of the list. It might be. It doesn't matter if now the pendulum swings with Patrice Bergeron retiring and the Boston landscape changing. Maybe they start to dip and they start to have some bad years, and now the Habs start to ramp up again. They're always going to hate each other. Like forever, and that's perfect. So Toronto, Boston, 1-2 forever, no matter what, really is in my books. It's these other teams that I feel like sometimes there's a little bit more there. And
today,
I kind of see Philly as a bridge.
Today, Montreal's rivals, unfortunately, Boston's not at the top of that list. They're only still considered a rival because of the history behind it. And to your point, what you just said, Boston's going to probably start piling up a few losses. You know, they won't be as good as they were last season. At least that's what we expect. You know, anything can happen.
I'd be shocked if they were as good next season. But yeah,
you know, so I think Montreal and Boston are just their timelines of what their where their teams are trending. I just don't see them meeting each other again in that kind of rival fashion and that fighting and all that stuff. I see it more with Montreal and Toronto. It was too recent. You know, the Montreal went to that Stanley Cup.
Yeah, for sure.
Agreed. They blamed Montreal, even though that was ridiculous. Like, there was just too much that happened in that playoff run. And now, again, the banter, the trolling, the fighting between fans, it literally happens on a weekly basis. So that's why I put Toronto at the very top, because not only did players clash on the ice, but the fans are still clashing every day.
I don't disagree with you at all. I think a more interesting question to kind of look at, and this also was sort of a conversation thing that went on for a couple of days on social media, is putting your bias aside for your dislike of certain teams, could you pick at least one player on those teams? We'll take those four teams. Let's put Philly aside. Let's take the four rival teams that you, for lack of a better word, like or admire or respect. Give me one guy on each team today on the current rosters. So here. We'll start with Toronto.
I don't like anybody.
Nobody?
I can admit they're talented. Auston Matthews is one of the best players in the NHL. He is. I don't like him. I don't even like him if he was in the Montreal Canadiens. Fact.
It could be. I don't know. It could be a bottom. And guy, if there's, a fourth liner, no, if there's, you can like if
there's
anybody.
If there's a player that I find has gotten a bit too much, trash thrown at them and they shouldn't have, probably Mitch Marner. I would say Mitch Marner. I like Mitch Marner. I like what he brings to the game, to the team. I he's a very talented player, and I think he's taken a bit too much heat from a fan base who should actually respect and appreciate the fact that they got somebody like Mitch Marner on their team.
Okay. Mitch Marner is probably
a consensus choice. Yeah, I would take Mitch Marner on any team in the NHL.
He's incredibly talented, but Mitch Marner, to me, represents Toronto Maple Leaf hockey. And for that reason alone, I despise
him. What sense?
He's the baby face kid from Ontario. He was there. That's not the point. We're talking about him. All right.
Okay.
And again, to your point, tremendously skilled. And ultimately, if he ended up on a team that I rooted for, would you be happy? The guy's a 100-point player? Absolutely. I don't like him. I don't like Auston Matthews. But I'll tell you who I do like. And as a guy who has essentially got the Hab killer label to him, I really shouldn't like him. But I like Nylander. I have a hard time not liking this guy. I find he's super eccentric. And he's weird. And I think he's very underappreciated in Toronto. And I like him. I like William Nylander on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Take that for what it's worth. I feel a little gross saying it, but there's my guy.
We are getting so many dislikes.
No. I would love, when we get through this list, I would love for people to comment to tell me who they have a special place in their heart for on rival teams. I'm sure there's somebody for everybody. I'm sure.
There is.
Saying you're going to go get posters. I'm not saying you want to go get autographs and build a card collection about a guy. But there's a guy who you could probably say on every team that you have as a rival here that we're going to talk about that you're like, you know what? Yeah. I don't mind that guy. I like that guy. Give me Carolina. Who's a guy in Carolina that you like?
Oh, Sebastian Aho.
Yeah, I have Aho too.
I go with Aho.
Former Montreal Canadian, of course. How do you not take?
Yeah, Aho? You know, former Habs legend, but then recently signed to an extension. But all that to say, I would go with Aho because the guy's consistent. Every year he comes out, he does the same thing. You know what you're getting from him. There doesn't seem to be any complaining from him. He seems to be a good guy on the ice. Like he just seems like the right choice to make when it comes to the Carolina Hurricanes. Plus, they've done so many additions and adding players like. If we're going to talk about, you know, talent and who I would love on my team, I take Svechnikov, right? But if you want to talk to me about the player I respect, From the Carolina Hurricanes, it's Sebastian Aho.
Yeah, I picked Aho also for myself. I mean, Svechnikov also, I think he hasn't done anything to really sway me one way or another. So that's just another guy, a lot of skill that you can maybe look at for sure. Brent Burns was another guy I was thinking. I kind of like Burns again for his eccentricities.
Yeah,
his skill.
The thing is, he's still too new to Carolina for me to like say.
He plays for Carolina.
I know, but I look at him and I still see San Jose. You know what I mean?
That's fair. That's super fair. But he was another guy I kind of toyed with in my head. But at the end of the day, I put Aho down on my list. So I agree. Ottawa. Here I'm interested.
Here respect. I'm interested. Okay.
You're saying respect. I'm using a more generic term. Like, give me one guy on that team that you like, and you can say it's because you respect him, or you can say it's because of his skill.
I like Brady Tkachuk's game. I don't like his face.
Okay.
Out of the players I respect on that team, I probably just respect one player, and it's Claude Giroux. He has earned my respect over the years. I give it to Claude Giroux.
You know what's funny about Claude Giroux?
You know, some people who know that I'm a Crosby fan are probably like, what, how, why?
So you say Claude Giroux right after talking about seeing Brent Burns at San Jose. I didn't even remember Claude Giroux was on that team because he's
been
filling
a couple of seasons now, right? So
two, I think.
Okay, Brent Burns been there 5 minutes in Carolina.
I'm just saying. I find it funny that you say okay, Claude Giroux, fine, fair, good one. I also cannot put Brady Tkachuk. I respect the skill, but I don't like the player. I don't like Tim Stützle.
You don't like his face. You don't like his face.
It's not about his face. I don't care what he looks like. I don't like the guy. I mean, I just...
No, it's an expression. Am I judging the actual person's face and the details of his face? No, I don't. I just like...
All right.
I don't like the cut of his jib.
All right. That's better. Thank you for everybody who's over 80 and understands that expression. Perfect. My guy, I put Shabbat.
Okay.
I like Shabbat. I like the skill there. I like the guy. I think he's good. He's pretty, you know, good she knew kind of. So why not? But the other guys, again, I respect the skill across the board. I might dislike all these players, and I dislike them because of how skillful they are and how they play for rival teams. So that's just an extra nod. But I will look at this guy like Shabbat, and I will say, I like that guy. Not bad. Now give me Boston.
Well, it would have been Patrice Bergeron, but he's not on the team anymore.
He's not on the team anymore.
So, give me Charlie McAvoy.
Charlie McAvoy. Okay.
I respect his game.
Okay.
The guy is very talented, very stable. He's always consistent, barring injury, of course, and where he ranks as in the top 15, 20 defensemen. Some people will even put him in the top 10. And he just seems to be one of those guys. I mean, admittedly, I don't follow him super closely where I know every detail of it, but he seems to be just like one of those players that are always smiling, playing the game the right way, doesn't complain. I mean, for those of you expecting me to say Brad Marchand, are you insane?
No.
Brad Marchand doesn't respect Brad Marchand.
It's hard to cheer for him when he's on Team Canada, let alone playing for Boston. So no, I will not say Brad Marchand. This one I had a kind of, it was a little bit tricky because I kind of wanted to put the goalies like together, Swayman and Allmark, because I like their little shtick they do at the end when they jump and hug and all their nonsense. And it's goalies, and they haven't really done anything in my view that I'm like, oh my God, I hate them so much. Or they, you know, Tim Thomas, for example, hated him. These guys, I kind of don't mind. So they were tied at the top as a 1-2 combo. The other guy, I don't know if this is a hot take or not. I don't think it is. Pasternak.
No, that's a hot take. He was right up there.
Yeah, that's a tremendously skilled player, and he's never done anything.
There's nothing to take away from David Pasternak. The guy is one of the best in the league, especially in goal scoring. So if there's anything I would say, I want him on my team tomorrow, today, right now. So good for Boston, who's got David Pasternak. But for me, if we're going to talk about who I like and respect and all that, I'm definitely going with Charlie McAvoy from the Boston Bruins. You know, if I got to go back, let me go back to the rivalry for a second. I just want to add one thing.
Sure.
If it wasn't because there was so much movement in Winnipeg, I probably would have put them fringe given everything that happened during that playoff run. But there's been so much movement. They're losing players. You know, in a year from now, the team that Montreal faced won't even be the same team anymore. You know what I mean? Dubois is gone. Scheifele seems like he's on the verge of going, and he's pretty much the one who stirred the pot in terms of maybe having a rivalry on that hit with Jake Evans and so on. And then, you know, the banter that was happening between the teams and all that. So I would have said that in case anybody brings it up. But anyways, I just wanted to add that back to the first topic.
All right. I think everybody's very happy that you did. Thank you for that. So another thing that moving off the topic now of rivals, something that was brought up, and this I always find incredibly fascinating. So in The Athletic, and I believe it was Scott Wheeler, he did a redraft of the 2020 draft class, right? And this is always super fun to see. It's been a couple years now, so I think it's fair to say that we could look at this and kind of sit back and discuss. The most interesting thing that to talk about for us, obviously, as I'm just finalizing the list here that he produced, which again, if you're not subscribed to The Athletic, you guys probably should. It's good stuff. I want to make sure that we get their little plug here.
It was Corey Prondman, by the way.
Okay, whatever. Sorry. There we go. Not Scott Wheeler. Corey Prondman. Good. There are three Habs that are first rounders in retrospect, according to him. And I think that that's pretty interesting to see. So we all know that this was the Lafreniere year and he went first. And so on the new list, he's fifth.
Lafreniere is fifth. Okay.
Lafreniere is fifth. So I'll go through fast here, just some of the key guys. And we'll talk about where we see the Habs guys, and where they moved up and if it makes sense. So Stützle is now number one. Jake Sanderson is two, which I thought was interesting. Lucas Raymond is three. Cole Perfetti is four. Lafreniere is five. Byfield six. Dawson Mercer is seven. Seth Jarvis eight. Anton Liddell nine. Jack Quinn is 10. Jamie Drysdale is now at 11. Devin Levy 13. Lucas Reichel 14.
Just say Levy. Levi, man. Levi.
Whatever. Marco Rossi is at 16. Okay, so Caden Gooley, 19, which I think is...
I think that's a little low.
Where is he drafted?
I honestly think that was a little low.
Because he fell.
Yeah, but you've seen him play now, and even yes. After you've seen him play, and you see the he was drafted 16.
Yeah, okay, that was it, right? So he dropped 3 points. Three ranks, and we named, you know, we named most of them. Askarov actually was 12, sorry. That's another notable one. Alexander Holt, 17. And so Gooley drops 3 to 19. Still a top round, first round guy. Falls a little bit. But we have Sean Farrell, famously not a first round pick, who has now moved his all the way up to 23rd. Which makes sense, I would imagine. I think most people would agree. He's 100% a first-rounder.
But that's where I find – this is where I find it kind of, like, silly, because you're seeing Caden Gooley, who showed what he can do before he got hurt and was proving that he, you know, what his upside is. You're saying he drops three ranks, but you're saying Sean Farrell goes from the fifth round all the way to first round and at 23, no less.
Yeah, because he was a steal. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a steal, but yeah. Stop. Like, that's insane.
Stop. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of in agreement with that. I think he is a later round, first round pick. When you go through the names of the guys who are 1 through 20.
Just my slight correction. I said fifth round, which is practically the fifth round. He was drafted fourth. 124th. Yeah. The very last pick of the fourth round.
Yeah. So he was fourth. Yeah. And then the other guy, which is interesting, Justin Barron is now 28th.
They're also saying drops 3 points.
He drops 3 points. So Colorado took him at 25. He's still in the first round, drops to 28th. Sean Farrell was the big monster climb.
So, and the Gooley positive, drops a the little positive, bit. Yeah, the positive to that is that now there are three players in the first round that Montreal now has on their roster.
Yes, that is the positives. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So ultimately, where people, when you look back at this draft class, I'm kind of comparing them now, because I'm sure it's not deep in everybody's minds. Most of these first rounders are staying first rounders. Most. They kind of jockey for position a little bit. But when I go through it, the first guy I see here is, and I believe it's the kid from Toronto. Yeah, Toronto at 15 took Amarov, but he's got a health issue or something, right?
Right.
Right. So that's unfortunate for him and Toronto there. So him out. The rest of these guys are here. Is this guy still here? 19, New York Rangers. Brandon Schneider, is he still here?
Braden Schneider.
He's still on the list?
He's a good prospect. Oh, I don't know if he's still on the list.
But so that's what I'm saying. So he's not on the redrafted first round. So he falls out. So, and again, this isn't like, 100% agreed upon.
But you know what? Guy's opinion. Yeah. No, I get it. But Corey Pronman is very reputable. So
yes, no, without question.
I agree with some of his stuff. Yeah, I do. But he's very reputable.
Yeah. Actually, I'm sorry. I lied. He's 20th. He dropped one spot. He is still on the list. He drops one spot. The kid, it's only so far the kid from Toronto because of the health issues is gone. I've moved down now to Columbus at 21. Chinakov, I don't think he's here. Yeah, so well, you got to fall all the way to 21.
If you remember that draft, Chinakov was a huge surprise pick at that point. Like, nobody was expecting Columbus to come up and draft him at 21 when you had Hendrix LaPierre there and Connor Zary.
Hendrix LaPierre is taken right after, not in the top 31 on the redrafted list. Just for the record, neither is Zary from Calgary at 24.
Because they both, I mean, they really both haven't had a shot in the NHL yet.
I mean, what's fascinating here is I'm looking, this is interesting. Jake Neighbors.
Yeah.
26, not in the top 31 in a redraft.
That is pretty surprising.
That one I find a little interesting, to be honest with you. Also, that's super interesting. You remember the whole thing that's not even the same guy. Jacob Perreault.
No, it's not the same guy.
It's not the same guy, right? Right, right. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So Anaheim drafted Jacob Perreault. He's not in the redraft. He moves up. Oh, my man, Ozzie from San Jose. I remember that last pick because everybody's looking at his name, Ozzie Wisblatt or something. He's not there. Maverick Bork falls out also. So, I mean, I'm not going to go through the whole list of everybody who made themselves in, but for the most part, I mean, you're talking the top, what is it? The top 20. The top 20 are all legitimate still first rounders.
Yeah, but they've shuffled, like, right? Like,
they've shuffled. So they've shuffled.
Based on that redraft, they're not saying Alexis Lafreniere as a first overall. It's Tim Stützle. And I agree with that. I do agree with that. I mean,
do you put Sanderson ahead of Raymond for the second pick? Do you agree with that? I don't.
I think the reason why they're placing him there, Sanderson, ahead of Raymond, is because some are saying that he was the best defenseman of that draft, which ironically we just drafted the best defenseman of the recent draft. So makes you wonder how things could be ranked sometimes. Would I put Jake Sanderson ahead of Lucas Raymond? I would.
Yeah,
I would. But not by much. Not by much. I would still draft Raymond over Sanderson. It would be like, you'd be factoring in based on need at that point.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's an interesting thing. I always have fun looking at this. Not so much for like, okay, oh, Alexis Lafreniere fell and who's first, whatever, because these are always fun things. And we'll see in another 5 years, maybe you look back on this and then Lafreniere taps his potential and he flies back to number one. You never know. I just find it more fascinating. Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. But you got three guys, three current Habs that are in the redrafted first round of that draft, and that's pretty good, man. And it's, I find that's a trend that Kent Hughes has been doing. It's like he's collecting first rounders like Infinity Stones, and he's Thanos. I mean, just go everywhere. He's picking up first rounders everywhere. Go look at the draft, Cole Caulfield's draft here. He's got three guys from that one.
But they're all guys that he's very familiar with. That's the thing. They're all guys that he's either they've either been his clients or he's followed them or he's coached them or whatever the case may be. They're people he knows. It's not just like, you know, throwing darts at a dartboard and hoping it hits. It's these are people he knows, and he expects will hit their potential. It's very methodical the way he's doing it.
I don't disagree, and it's fun to see, because at the end of the day, to the point that I'm trying to make here, obviously not super well, but when you look at top 20 guys, you don't really miss too often. Unless the draft is complete, absolute garbage, and it looks like in the top 20 here, you're going to get a good player. And he's busy taking guys that were drafted, you know, mid-teens, you know, early 20s, stuff like this. Sometimes top 10, you get guys like that. I like the recipe that he's doing.
I didn't catch what you said there. Where did Jamie Drysdale go in the redraft?
11th.
Okay, and where did Dawson Mercer go? And the reason why I'm going to ask Dawson Mercer is because it was the big controversy back then.
Yeah, Habs didn't take Mercer and they took Gouley. He's 7th on the redraft. Mercer jumps from 18th to 7th while Gouley drops from 16th to 19th. Now, when you go look at people's reactions to this, it would seem overwhelmingly, not even just Habs fans, are suggesting that Gouley should have been in the high teens at the very least. So say what you will about that, but I think that's the point you're actually making yourself.
Well, okay, so... Well, because you're putting Jake Sanderson, what was it, second on a redraft?
Second.
Third? On the redraft. He was second. Yep. So Jake Sanderson played 77 games, has had 32 points so far at the NHL. That's a 0.41 points per game. Caden Gooley is at a 0.409. So are you really saying Jake Sanderson is that much better that he should go second overall when you're looking at their points per game being very comparable to one another?
Well, again,
that's where I find it much now. Again, here. Sanderson's upside and what he's capable of doing and his ceiling is very high. That's a very good pick for Ottawa. But to put him second overall, I really would argue that maybe Dawson Mercer should go second overall.
So here's something interesting as well.
Or Lucas Raymond, Dawson Mercer, coin toss between them two, top three there.
No. Yeah. Somebody, hold on one second. Let me make sure I get this right. Somebody. Okay, no. Okay. So it's two people. That's interesting. That's interesting. So it looks like in this article, there's two different rankings that happen. So Caden Gooley goes from 17, changes to 19, right? Or 16, rather, 16 to 19.
16 to 19.
Yeah. So the article states about him, all things considered, and despite mixed on-ice results on a bad team, I thought Gooley handled himself well as a rookie in his rookie season in the NHL last year. His skating, strength, and overall athleticism have always been his ceiling, or rather his calling card, and remain his biggest strengths. Now it's just about refining the rest of his game, getting reps, and continuing to establish himself as the anchor of the Canadiens' blue line in the future. So, on ice mix, I mean, I thought he played very, very well before getting hurt. But then...
He was playing lots of minutes for a defenseman in his rookie year.
Yeah. The next thing I read under that is my final ranking... is number 31. So I don't understand that. But anyways, I think there's two guys in the article. I mean, I just took the list. I didn't go through the entire article, but regardless, it seems like they have them now.
I don't want to come off as being a biased Habs fan or whatever, but if you're saying that your final ranking for Caden Gooley is 31, I'm probably never going to read another one of your articles again.
No, they got him at 19. They got him at 19. But regardless, the main kind of, and I suggest everybody, if you haven't, again, go check out this list.
His rookie year, his average time on ice was 20 minutes and 31 seconds.
Yeah, he played on a weird team that had five rookies. So you knew he was going to get huge minutes regardless.
But regardless, he handled himself very well doing
that. I'm not saying no. I'm not saying no. I'm saying right now, would you want Gouley or would you want Mercer? Is what I guess I'm saying.
Yeah. If you want to go that, you want to talk about that kind of conversation, I think that's a different conversation altogether. But I mean, I'm looking at Gouley right now and saying that the guy was on a 34-point pace on his rookie season, playing 20 plus minutes a game.
Yep.
But yet you have Jake Sanderson, who was on a 35-point pace, and you were saying his second overall.
I'm very pleased to have Caden Gouley on this team, and I think he's going to have a super bright future for the Habs. I do believe. And that note, again, two things we like to ask the community. And of course, thank you for listening. Thank you for taking time to talk about the Habs in the middle of summer. You guys are fantastic. Number one question was, who do you think are the current rivals that are out there? And as a sub point to that, could you find it in yourself to name one player on that team that you consider a rival that you like, respect, whatever you want to use? We'd be very curious to find out who you got. And then just looking at the redraft, not so much do you agree with specifically Corey Pronman's redraft list, but now seeing sort of the trend of what's going on with what Kent Hughes is doing, which you would think would be very difficult, but he's gathering up all these first rounders. What is that? How do you feel about that? Is this the right tactic? He's loading up on guys that haven't really hit potential, guys that were sort of undervalued, and he sees that the team can make them take the next step, or should he go for more, do bigger deals and get established guys that are clearly very good? I'd be curious to know your take on that as well. And so, unless Oviedo has something else he likes to add right here at the end.
I'm good. I think I've said enough. I think everyone's fed up of hearing my voice now.
And I sure am. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, keep an eye out on X, Twitter, whatever we're calling it, Threads, all the rest of our social media for when we're going to announce the next episode, which I said is likely going to be in 2 weeks' time as we roll into summer schedule before the start of preseason. So enjoy that summer, everybody. Keep an eye out for the next episode. Thank you for listening. And as always, for Vito and Matt, and this was
Get Pucked.